So much. And welcome everyone to the Monday Night Edition, third show for the season, in season, off season, of the 2-Point Conversion. I am your co-host with Mr. J. How are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you? How's everybody out there?
You know, it's Colorado. Everyone's getting excited because they're getting all the offensive linemen, free agents. They're like, oh, my God, we're going to be so good out here today.
Got Jared Stidham there, the backup plan to your boy Russell Westbrook, Russell Wilson. I'm going to keep calling him your boy forever, even though I know it's not.
Yeah, it's okay because I was all about him last season. I'm not going to lie. I missed that train. But, you know, whatever. I'll take that hit. I'll take it.
Apparently, Russell Wilson has been fooling people of his talent for years.
Okay, we could go there. He has been fooling people of his talent. And he roped Sierra in, so, you know, he's got something going for him.
He's winning in life, right? He may suck on the field, but he's winning in life.
Life, man. I mean, please. That's like so out of his league. Anyway, we are... the 2-Point Conversion crew, and we are here to discuss so many things with you today. But before we do that, I want to just remind everyone that you can go to Underdog and play any of the three-letter sports, like PGA, NHL, NFL, what am I missing, NBA. They have, like, pick-ems, they have best ball, and if you use the GF2, they will match your dollar for dollar up to $100. So... you know, give it a shot if you want to, like, hone your skills before NFL season starts again. Because that's what I'm doing. I'm, like, honing my skills while I'm losing an ungodly amount of money. But still, it's fun, right?
It's fun.
It's fun, yeah. My dog won't eat for a couple days, but he's okay with that. So today we're going to talk about a few things. But let's start. Do you want to start with the NCAA brackets?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So... I'm not gonna lie. I started watching men's college basketball towards the end of the season. Like, I don't watch it all season long because, as the NBA has, it has a god awful amount of games, and my attention span does not allow for that amount of information in my head and for me to operate well. So I started watching sort of maybe 2 months ago, and I don't know if I told you this, but one of the sites I bet on had Kentucky at 40-1. So I put money on Kentucky, but now the brackets, it's not really a great bracket for them. So I'm probably going to lose money there too. Whatever. I don't care.
I think they got as good as a chance as any to come out of that particular bracket. So
So here's how I pick during the NCAA. Because it's one and done, I usually go by the coaches. You know what I mean? Because it's really, they have to game plan like right then and there. And even if you have a really, really good team, if your coach sucks and he can't implement that plan for the next game, you're not going to do well, right? So my only thing with that bracket is Calipari might – well, Shaka is in that bracket, but Calipari might be the best coach in that bracket.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of scares me. But let's go the number one seed who you think – might not make it like past the Sweet 16 round. And
I don't past the Sweet 16?
Yeah. You can't say
wow. Past the Sweet 16, huh? Wow. History would tell me that if there's going to be a team that should not make it past the Sweet 16 will be the Kansas Jayhawks. I know that they're the defending champions. But if I have to pick one team to stumble early like that, it would be Kansas because, you know, they done it before. In fact, I do think that. I think that Kansas is on a collision course with UConn. I think that UConn was ripped off in the seeding. I don't think that UConn is a 4 seed. I think they're closer to a 2 seed. And I think that they're going to beat Kansas. So I guess I'm going with Kansas.
See, I agree with whoever the Facebook user is. I think Purdue's going to be the number one seed out. I mean, they're in and I mean, no to him because he's obviously a good coach. But I think that out of all the coaches in that bracket that he's in, he's probably like the weakest one of when you get to the really good teams. Like he's going to meet Duke. They're going to meet Duke. And I'm not giving Duke guy any credit because it's his first year, but Duke can match up with them in the middle. And Purdue has a history of not really performing quite so well when, you know, the bright lights are on, which I feel really bad for that one kid because he's been there for forever.
Edie? Zach? I mean, the guy's like he's like a mountain, right? But he's slow. Yeah. So that's the problem with Purdue, right? So when you look at, you talk about like the March Madness, you're looking like, you already touched on the point, right? We're looking at coaching and then you're looking at guard play. Well, what Purdue has going on is they got Painter. He's, you know, he's like you said, he's an okay coach, but Edie, I mean, he's dominant. He's very dominant, you know, big. But Purdue has always had these gigantic teams, and then they falter when they have to pick up a little bit of speed, where teams can actually quicken the pace up on Purdue. So it's not a bad bet to say that they will be the one to fall. Not a bad bet at all. But I just think that he is good enough to at least get them at least to the Elite Eight before they start really running into trouble.
I like the Kansas pick, but mainly because I don't like Bill Self. So you have that. And I kind of want them to lose. But I really – Purdue, I think got – like Alabama by far has the easiest road. Like there's no one in that bracket they should be scared of. The only thing with Alabama is they go by way of Brandon Miller, right?
Yeah.
And once they get going – all that noise, he's like 19 years old. Yeah. How can that noise not affect him? And there's going to be a lot of noise about him bringing a gun to a fist fight. And people are going to just like be all over that. And I don't know how well a 19-year-old is going to be able to stand up.
I think that he's proven that he can, which has been a shock for me. And just seeing him do that, just game after game after game after game, he just comes out, he delivers, and Alabama's good. But to your point, going back to – I don't want to leave Purdue out real quick because to your point, Purdue is actually in the same bracket of my Cinderella team. And so I can see a world. I can see a world where Purdue does lose in the Sweet 16 to my Cinderella team, Oral Roberts.
You think Oral Roberts is going to beat Duke?
I think that Oral Roberts is going to beat Duke. First of all, so here's the thing, right? When you talk about the NCAA selection committee, they got it wrong again. So I've already said that twice, and we've been on air for, 5 minutes? They got it wrong on UConn. UConn is seeded too low. UConn should be a 2 seed, right? And so that's going to be a problematic draw for Kansas. But Oral Roberts is not – they are not a 12 seed. You were talking about a team that they're 30 – they're 30. They have 30 wins on the season. I don't care who you played against. You got 30 wins. They have won 17 games in a row. You're talking about a team that went to the Sweet 16 2 years ago as a 15 seed, right? Okay. So I just think that you're talking about a team that's hot. Since they lost to Houston on the third game of the season, they're 29-2. You know, you got Abrams.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that Duke is an okay team, hidden by a great name, coming from an average conference.
I do agree with the average conference. ACC was not, you know, the powerhouse that it used to be. Let me say real quick, if you're listening on Twitter, we can't see if you're making comments. I can't see your comments. You have to slide over to Facebook or where my YouTube to get them. I agree with ACC being an average conference. But Oral Roberts, that's a bold call. That's a bold statement, sir. That is a very bold statement because I've seen like several brackets where Duke is like in the final four.
That's incorrect. I hate to tell you that. Again, it's you're going people that do that are going by the name pedigree. I've seen like a lot of people who are kind of like so quote unquote experts in bracketology will say that Oral Roberts is a very, very live bet out there for some of you guys that are looking to go against the spread there. And I just think that, you know, when you talk about guard play, Max Abrams, that's a legitimate star. I don't think that Duke is that good of a team. I think that they, you know, they had a chances to really blow away the ACC, which was, you know, not really that great of a conference this year, and they didn't do it. And I think that they got a little hot in the ACC tournament. I just don't think that Duke is the same team that we're used to seeing.
All right, so Oral Roberts is your Cinderella team.
Yeah.
Then, that's how far are you picking them to go?
I mean, if we're talking about who's going to beat Duke, I think they're going to go to the Elite Eight. And they're going to beat Duke. They're going to beat Purdue in the Sweet 16 and go to the Elite Eight.
Nice.
Yeah. Go big, right? Go big.
Go big or go home. Okay. My Cinderella. I changed like four times because the first one I picked, and then I was like, they might not. Okay, I'm just going to go. Drake is my Cinderella team. Another 12-5 seed, which they play Miami.
Miami's horrible.
I wasn't going to go that far. But
notice that we're both picking on the ACC, though. You see?
That's true. That is true. But yeah, I think that Drake will be Miami, and then they have what, IU and Kent, whoever the winner of that game, and I think they'll win that game. And I think that Houston bracket, I think that it's chock full of upsets. Like, I think Auburn can beat Iowa just on coaching alone.
Yeah.
I think Drake's going to beat Miami. I don't know about the IU Kent game. I actually picked Pitt to win against Mississippi State and then to beat the Iowa State. I always have to pick.
Ooh.
You always have to pick one of the, like, one of those teams that have to play early. It's going to make a run because they're ready. They're playing and they're already in the tournament. So that is my pick of team that's going
to
make a run.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot to be said for the advantage of the play-in, right? They're in playoff mode, right? They're in tournament mode. They've already had to survive a little bit. They get the first game jitters out, which is that's a big problem when you factor in, you know, coming. Just the whole big lights thing of it. That's a pretty interesting bracket there because I actually think that Iowa State and Xavier, that's going to be a good game in the second round. And I think Iowa State's going to pull off the upset on Xavier there. And then Iowa State will eventually lose to Texas. But Houston's going to come out. So what's your final four then?
My final four is in one of the brackets. I have Texas.
So you have them beating Houston. Or you don't think Houston's going to get there?
No, I don't. I don't.
Because you're Drake. You're going with your Drake?
Well, I mean, I saw Houston play, and they didn't look that good. Xavier didn't look that good against Marquette either. I mean, Xavier's supposed to be one of the highest scoring teams. And Marquette, like, stifled them. And don't get me wrong, I love Shaka Smart. Although I have to say Shaka Smart with hair is kind of frightening. I can't deal with it. But I don't think Houston's, and I don't think Kansas is. I agree with you on that. But I had Texas and Gonzaga, Marquette, and Alabama were my final four.
Ooh.
I went coaches.
Oh, okay.
What up, Jamie? You know what I mean? Like, okay. I want Texas to win really badly just because I want them to hire that coach and forget that Chris Beard ever existed. But they're good.
Okay.
They were good. Who are your final four?
My final four is Houston.
Okay.
Houston has been the most consistent team to me pretty much all year. Coming in, I think they're what, 30-3 or something like that, 31-3. Houston has, you know, just great. We talk about it, right? Just great guard play. Marcus Sasser shooting 38% from three. They got the other guy, Sheed, who's just a real floor general. When you talk about college hoops, that's what you want. You need a stellar guard play. I do think that Drake and Kent State is going to mess up the bottom half of Houston's bracket a little bit. So they're going to kind of have a little easy path up until they get really tested by either Xavier or Texas. But I do think that Houston's going to come out of that bracket. I think that the other side on the Purdue side, the East, that's going to be Purdue. You know, I do think that Oral Roberts is going to, you know, get them their run there. That's my, okay. I don't know. Maybe I might change that and just come down to Kansas State, who is interesting to me. I do like Kansas State. Kansas State has beaten Baylor, TCU, Kansas, and Texas this season. But then they also lost to Oklahoma, who, you know, nobody loses to. So you talk about a team that has a big ceiling, but they also have a very low floor, you know, as well. Creighton, I see somebody talking about that in there. I did write up, you know, Creighton a little bit there, being a dangerous team for Baylor in the South region there. I think that Bama definitely has the easiest path to the Final Four. I just don't see that. Part of the reason is, Jamie, I do think that Creighton is going to actually upset Baylor. I have Baylor on my upset alert there. But, yeah, Bama's going to come out of there. Just too much talent. Brandon Miller, he's just a man. Even in the one game where, you know, I think they lost earlier, he only had 8 points. They beat Houston. I think they beat Houston. He only scored 8 points in that game. And then out west, I got UCLA coming out of that. I think that that's the best game of the tournament is going to be the Sweet 16 matchup between UCLA and Gonzaga. I think we're going to get that rematch of, you know, the Final Four 2 years ago when Jalen Suggs hit that half-court shot out of nowhere. Kansas doesn't really scare me. UConn's going to take care of Kansas. And I just think that UCLA, they stumbled against Arizona, which was shocking. I thought that UCLA was going to clearly easily win that game and just take the one seed. But being the two in the West wasn't the worst thing that can happen. Well, it wasn't the worst thing that can happen to them because they did avoid the fate that Arizona got, which is going in the same bracket with Alabama. So I do have Alabama going all the way, winning a championship against Houston.
So hold, please. Go lay down. So I don't have, this is not as crazy as it sounds. I don't have UConn beating Iona. I have Iona and Rick Pitino at least winning one game in this because it's Rick Pitino. Basically, and like I said, I go by the coaches, and Iona isn't that they're not that bad. I mean, they're on a clear win streak, and like you said, maybe they haven't played the elite talent, but they still won. I mean, you're still playing. It's not like, you know, people are laying down for them. So I have Iona beating UConn, and then I think I had them losing in the next round. Oh no, because I had them playing BCU because I had BCU beat. That is my upset bracket, I guess.
See, so you don't like Dan Hurley?
I can't tell the two Hurley brothers apart. I'm sorry. I don't want them on. Yeah, they're both like crazy men to me. But I think he's an okay coach. He's not Rick Pitino. You know?
Rick Pitino's not Rick Pitino anymore, though. That's why he's at Iona. Yeah.
Oh, but he's getting a job. Where is he going? He's going to Big East. Who wants him? St. John, somebody.
St. John, yeah. I, in my personal opinion, I've seen UConn play a couple of times this year, and I can argue that UConn is one of the top five teams in the nation. I mean, you talk about
when they went 16-3, but
right. But when you talk about what wins, you know, in a tournament, like they're going to control the pace. You know, the offensive rebounding. The only team that really shown UConn to have a hard time was Xavier. They lost to Xavier. That's like their kryptonite. I think they lost to them, you know, three times, two or three times this year. But luckily for them, they don't have to play Xavier. Xavier's in the Midwest. So I think that UConn is definitely one of the teams that's going to come out on that top side of Kansas, and I think they're going to lose to UCLA.
So, okay, here's the thing. They lost to Xavier. Xavier is what has the point guards who are just like on fire.
On fire, score. Yeah.
Iona has almost the same thing, but not as big. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Like I said, that is my upset. The West is my upset bracket. I'm picking.
Okay. Definitely the West looks more out of all of them. I mean, you got the West kind of looking like the one where anything can happen there. Cause that can go from Kansas to UConn to Gonzaga to UCLA to even hell, Illinois, you know, or VCU can make a run, you know, there.
I'm seeing VCU making a run. Yeah. I have them going at least beating Illinois. Although that Illinois Arkansas game might be interesting depending on how it's called. That's one of the games that I can't, like, I heard someone say that at the beginning of the tournament, they call a little lax, like they're not calling as tight as they do towards the end, which would favor Arkansas because Illinois counts on getting on the line, right? So
yeah.
I don't know. I need to know how they call. So I need to, like, make that pick after the game starts.
Well, that's why March Madness is the greatest.
It is
the greatest ever. Just, you get the single elimination game. You get these teams that got no business in it. You give the underdog that fight.
And there's no business in it. So do you have any of the play-in teams winning their first after? Oh, my God. Winning. Go lay down. Winning the first round or second round for them?
No. I mean, Pitt or Mississippi State can be.
Yes.
Pitt or Mississippi State can be a problem because they're going to play into Iowa State, which is, you know, a very beatable game there. You can make a case for, you know, Arizona State coming in out west and causing a problem for TCU. If Arizona State wins the game, if Nevada wins, then, you know, TCU is probably going to go pretty far, but that's it. Those are the only ones. I don't think that any one of them gonna win, though.
Okay, I'm still sticking with my. Which one did I pick? I picked Pitt.
Pitt, yeah.
To win and then to come in, I'm gonna stick with that. And then you have Alabama winning it all against who?
Houston.
Oh, so I have Texas winning it all against. I think I had Alabama go out, actually, against. Okay,
Final
so
four.
So I had Texas and Marquette, and I had Texas winning it all because that would just make that the greatest game ever for me.
You'd be like the only person watching that game is Texas versus Marquette.
I'm okay with that.
You gotta have a bad. We talked about this before. You have to have a bad guy. You have to have. There has to be a villain somewhere, right? And otherwise, it's not going to be interesting.
Yeah, but who's the villain in that bracket?
Alabama's the villain. Alabama's clearly the villain. Duke will be a villain just because they're Duke if they were to get there. Kansas would be a villain because they're defending champions, right? And you know what I mean? So you kind of want that one of those teams. You gotta have a blue blood in there. Texas, I like Texas. I think that Texas has a legitimate resume. I got no problems with Texas. That's just I don't know if I'm committing my Monday night to watching Marquette in Texas for the national title game.
Think how great that game would be. It would be like just the greatest game ever. Like Marquette playing like that crazy stifling defense that they play, and then Texas trying to run. Ugh, it would be great. All right. Whatever.
All right.
I can't pick a villain. I can't pick Kansas. I can pick Kentucky only because I have money on them. So, but I don't want them to beat Marquette. So I can't do that.
Okay.
And I can't pick Alabama because I honestly think the noise is going to be too much for Brandon Miller in the NCAA. I really do. And I think that he might crumble under it. And if he crumbles, that Alabama team's done. Like, they need him. They need him bad.
Fair point. But they've also beat Houston without Brandon Miller doing anything. Brandon Miller had eight points in that game. So, and they won. So they can win without them.
Right. I guess. All right. We'll go to the women's bracket.
Oh, so you mean the Dawn Staley Invitational?
Don Staley. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The Dawn Staley Invitational, really, the women's bracket. I hate to say this because I think people really should give women's college basketball a fair shake, right?
Right.
I don't watch the WNBA that much, but the college basketball game, I think is kind of fun. Outside of you got a couple of teams that are just, you know, so good. But when looking at that and you see just this behemoth in South Carolina and you're immediately going, okay, South Carolina is the clear and away heavy favorite. But you start looking into it, and I don't know if the selection committee did this by design, if they set it up, because I'm looking for two teams, you know, in particular that can give South Carolina a hard time. And those two teams would be the teams that they would have to beat if everything went right in the Final Four and then in the championship game. So I'm looking at South Carolina. You go, where's LSU? And you go, where is Stanford? Right. And so Stanford, early in the season, right? Early in the season in Palo Alto, they had South Carolina on the road. Should have won that game. That game goes in overtime. They do the Chris Webber, you know, timeout, faux pas. Yeah. You know what I mean? So South Carolina misses the free throw. They're up two. They missed the free throw. Stanford gets the ball. They get the rebound, and they're running towards transition. And then inexplicably, they call a timeout with no timeouts left, with like 6 seconds left. I do think that they would have gotten a good shot off. I thought that the big girl from Stanford was giving them the business. Cammie Brink. She was giving South Carolina the business in a rare occasion where you actually have a mismatch because Aaliyah couldn't guard her, and she was too fast for her, and she was shooting threes and just going right by her as well. So you're looking at Stanford, and then you look at LSU, and LSU camping out in the three seed. What's with the brackets are weird, right? They call them like Greenville 1 and Greenville 2 and Seattle 1, Seattle 2.
Yeah.
But LSU, so that was the hyped up game, right? Remember, we were talking about that game. It was it's going to be the best game ever for college basketball, and it wasn't.
No.
And part of that is because Angel Reese got in foul trouble early. Got like three fouls in the first quarter, and she was just completely out of the game the rest of the way. When you talk about just the pure talent, though, of if you can get a perfect storm scenario where South Carolina is vulnerable, it's only – those two teams that can beat them. And by the way, shout out to talking about LSU, Flo, what's her name? Flage Johnson.
Yeah.
Did you guys see her like on what was it? That show, America's Got Talent.
I think, no, it was the other one, wasn't it?
No.
It was America's Got Talent.
Yeah, America's Got Talent. Okay. That's the one with Simon Cowell now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, America's Got Talent. So if you guys don't know, she's a pretty good, I think a pretty good rapper. You got to go on YouTube. YouTube her audition for America's Got Talent. That one, Ready or Not, you know, with the Lauryn Hill beat. I mean, she was killing it. She was killing it, but she kills it on the floor too. I mean, sharp shooter. She shoots 37% from three-point range. When you talk about a game where how do you beat South Carolina? Well, you're going to have to speed up the pace, which LSU can do. Both of those teams can, Stanford and LSU. Stanford has that the Samoan point guard. She's pretty good. They can push the pace up. All of this is a moot point because none of them are going to beat South Carolina. But we're talking about if there was a perfect storm scenario, those would be the two teams that I think could.
You don't like what's the girl's name from Iowa? Clark?
Clark, no.
No. They're the number two seed in that, in Stanford's bracket. So I mean,
yeah, they're not gonna.
Stanford didn't, like, they were hot at the beginning, but they've kind of stumbled towards the end. And I like teams that are coming in hot. I like teams that
come in hot, you know, yeah.
And Stanford, even though they got the one seed, is not. And I think that is historically the problem with like women's basketball college level. Like, I'm watching some games and the scores are amazingly low, like 50s and 30s. And these are teams that are winning, and there's just not enough action going on. And they were missing like layups, and they're missing like under the basket. And you're like, this is why people don't watch. And then you have
Wanda, yeah.
Then
yeah,
you know, USC who, or South Carolina who, you know, doesn't really miss much and run up and down the court. And I honestly, if I can't, they, I can't see anyone. I don't think LSU is going to give them a run for the money, even if Angel stays free of foul trouble.
Yeah, because they have mental lapses, right? They, how do you lose that game to in the semifinal? How do you lose the SEC semifinal to, was it Tennessee?
Yeah.
Was it Tennessee that got them? And LSU had a lead. They had a big lead in the second half, and they just basically just went flat. That was pretty rough there. So yeah, it's the Don Staley Invitational. But I would like to see LSU and South Carolina. I'd like to see that rematch. I think that would be a good, probably the best game. I don't think that Iowa has enough to beat them. I'd rather see if it's not going to be that team. I'd rather see it be Indiana.
Really? Why Indiana?
Yeah, because I like McKenzie.
Okay, that's valid. I'll accept that. Yeah, I'm going strictly with Don Staley Invitational, and the only one can beat South Carolina is South Carolina. They can beat themselves, and I don't see that happening because Staley's too headstrong. Do you know that there's never been a perfect bracket? I just looked that up. I don't know why. Because, I mean, I have a perfect bracket, but there's never been a bracket that all the way through the end was perfect. One guy got to the Sweet 16 without missing any, which is formidable, I think. But
yeah, I mean, anything can happen in a single elimination tournament. I mean, what would be that situation for South Carolina, right? Let's say like Aaliyah Boston gets into foul trouble, you know, early, and now, you know, she's out of the game, or you get into a situation where you just get up against some guards, because if you have a weakness on South Carolina, it's going to be the perimeter defense. That's their probably the only, and you're stretching right there, probably the only weakness that they have is their perimeter defense. So you get a team that gets hot from outside, and now you're speeding up pace and they're hot from outside. That's a perfect storm scenario where South Carolina can falter. And that's what happened in that game in Stanford in the first half.
I say Iowa, because I can see them getting hot. Like, what's her, Caitlin
Clarke, yeah.
Just like throwing up like 50 points. But yeah, I still don't see anyone beating South Carolina but South Carolina. All right, let's move on to the free agency. Did you today? You, I know you work, like, so, you know, you do adult things. So, but what did you hear any of the free agency signings today? What was your biggest surprise from the signing?
Jimmy G. Jimmy Garoppolo going to the Raiders. Yeah, that was shocking because I'm not shocked that Jimmy G was picked up. I'm shocked that he went to a team that's not a contender. Because you would think like a team that needs kind of a quarterback placeholder, but still has a window to compete for a championship, that's the perfect team for a Jimmy Garoppolo, right? So to see it go to, you know, to the Raiders, who I think the Raiders are the last place team in that division next year. That was a little bit shocking for me. Not going to lie.
I think it was a little bit shocking for Devontae Adams too. Like, it doesn't help his fantasy appeal at all, which is sad. It helps Hunter Renfrow if he's still there, but.
Well, they're the same player, right? We can argue this one. To me, Jimmy Garoppolo is Derek Carr. They're the same player. We're talking about both quarterbacks. You know, neither one of them are going to push the ball down the field. Very low, you know, yards per target. You know, quarterbacks, they want to take the safe play. So in a world where Devontae Adams is uncoverable, if you get him the ball early and allow him to break tackles and make you look good, he can definitely still, you know, produce. I do think that Devontae Adams is one of the few wide receivers that might be quarterback proof if we're talking about, you know, fantasy production. But I don't know. It was just one of those. It was just a weird one for me. I don't know.
Well, I mean, there was the Josh McDaniels collect. So the Josh McDaniels, what is the word? that they've been together in New England. So he had that going for him. I don't know. I think it, in Jimmy G's case, it was kind of like no one wanted them last year. And it's kind of like, you know, like not the least attractive girl, and someone pays her attention and she's like, yes, I will marry you, because, you know, because someone is paying attention to him. You know what I mean? I don't think Jimmy G had that many suitors that he could be like, you know, Raiders, I'm going to hold off for a bit, because who else is going to pick him up? You know, there's
that's true. That's true. He's got to take the first one that asked him out, right?
Exactly. And it was Las Vegas.
That's the irony of talking about Jimmy G like that. Goodness gracious. That is one beautiful human being. In all of my masculinity, okay? In all of my masculinity, Jimmy G, that is one handsome fella.
He is a handsome guy. He is a very handsome guy. Almost too pretty, almost. But anyway.
Almost too pretty, right? Might be a little too pretty there.
Yeah.
Maybe the best signing was Hargrave. Going to the 49ers for a defensive tackle not named Aaron Donald to have what do you have 11 12
yeah.
sacks last year. Yeah, they gave him a bag too, man. What was that, 4 years, $84 million with 40 guaranteed?
They're just throwing money
as a Rams fan, and I'm a little bit not as hating on the 49ers this year as a Rams fan, even as a Rams fan, because I just don't think that – I think we're rebuilding, right? We, you know, Jalen Ramsey's gone. I think Aaron Donald's like, well, shit, if I would have known this was happening, you know, would have come back. He's probably in his last year. The Rams should probably trade him.
Yeah.
Give him that, you know, wherever you want to go, we'll trade you. Let us get something for you, and good luck to you. You know, type thing. So I do think that the 49ers just simply retool on the defense. A little bit telling to me that, you know, Jimmy G is gone. And I'm interested from the 49ers fans on who they think is going to be their guy at quarterback, though. Because it should be Trey Lance, right? But.
Well, it's going to have to be, isn't it? Because isn't Purdy's rehab time will go into the season, right? It's like at least 6 months, and that's all they have, right?
At least 6 months. But then you look at it, and this is why it's like, wow, you know, shocking, because if he's 6 months and Trey Lance is, you know, he's one of those guys that isn't necessarily the model of health. we've already seen what, you know, happened there when they had to go to like the fourth stringer there. And I don't know what the 49ers are doing. Maybe they just think we're just going to run it and play defense and be quarterback neutral.
Do you think they're going to pick up a quarterback? Is that what you're saying? Do you think they're going
to? I don't know.
Oh, okay.
As a Rams fan, I should keep my enemies closer, but we're not anywhere close to winning a Super Bowl for the next 3, 4, 5 years. So I'm just kind of watching the games.
I think for me, like the best free agent signing, Jalen Ramsey going to the Dolphins with Vic Fangio there. That Dolphins defense is just going to be formidable. Bradley Chubb and Phillips on the edge, and now you have Ramsey and Xavier in the back. Come on.
But that's not the problem the Dolphins have. The Dolphins have a Tua problem, right?
Unless he can stay healthy, if, you know.
He won't, though. He won't. He won't stay. And this it pains me to say it. I like Tua. Right. I just don't see a world where he's going to finish this season. I don't. I think that he's going to get probably at least 2 concussions, you know, next year. Yeah. I mean, he had 2 of the scariest concussions that I've ever seen, you know, people literally come back and play from last season.
I just saw the one, and then I couldn't watch a game that Tua played in. It's like, I can't watch baseball. I'm scared someone's going to get hit in the face. I can't watch Tua play because I'm scared he's going to get hit in the head. But, I mean, I guess in reality – can you please go lay down? I guess in reality, that's why they only picked up, like, his fifth-year option. Like, we'll give him a year, see if he can stay healthy. I mean, I hope he does. I honestly hoped he didn't come back. Like, in my head, I don't want to see him play again because – which one is that? Which son? Is it the basketball player?
just came. My whole family just came home now. So.
Hey, what up, family?
This one's Josiah. Say hello. You can't hear you because I got my headset on. She says hi.
I hoped he didn't come back, but if he does come back, and he will come back, they don't have a backup quarterback. Like, Teddy Bridgewater is a free agent. So what are they going to do? Is that the wife? She doesn't care. Did I wave at her? She just doesn't care. So, I mean, they, unless.
Is my lovely wife, Nedra, everybody. She's my co-host Gladys wanted to have you on last year. Yes. Just so y'all can talk some, because she wants to talk some non-sports stuff on occasion. Okay. On occasion.
I do. Right. Okay, good. Cool. Yes.
I'm trying to tell Jay he has to help Jace make a leprechaun.
A leprechaun?
A leprechaun trap.
He needs to watch some Notre Dame Fighting Irish. That's what that's going to be about. That's
a, I like a leprechaun trap. What up? Bye. Okay, so nice family. Is it, you have a good looking family there, sir. Nice going.
Yeah good looking family. I'm lucky. Yeah. Got me feeling like I'm Jimmy G up in here.
If they don't get a backup quarterback, it seems to me that they think Tua is going to make it through the season, right? I mean, concussions are not, like, the one concussion, the first one was the one I saw. And that was just, that he got back up and played was ridiculous. The one they got in trouble for. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, they have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Both of, Tyreek Hill is quarterback proof. So, all they need is a running back, because all the running backs are free agents. Bijan Robinson, that's what I'm saying. I think they're fun. I think they're Super Bowl bound. I'm making that call right now. Oh.
Hold on for a second, okay?
All right, I'm going to talk to you guys, because I think that Jay and his lovely family, Jay has to make a leprechaun trap, which I've never heard of, but I'm oddly intrigued by what it is, and I might have to start doing that myself.
Yeah, sorry, everybody just came home right now, nice. So it is what it is, in all of its real rawness.
No, but we got to see your family.
I don't know.
Yeah, they are.
They're awesome.
They look awesome. I honestly think Miami, they're in a rough division, granted. Like, you still got Buffalo out there. But I do not think they will. I think they'll make the playoffs easily, with or without Tua.
Wow.
I'm calling it now, just like I called my Russell Wilson last year. I'm not afraid. I have no fear. I don't care. I have no fear. I think you.
Hey, you got to stand by your takes, exactly. Right? Plant your flag. Don't backpedal from it. Hey, you're going to be wrong. But when you're right, you're going to be right.
It's so. Like my Texas winning the NCAA. I'm there. I'm all for it. And Bijan goes to
not
Dallas.
The worst call.
No, Bijan's not going to Dallas, Jamie. Stop that craziness. Dallas needs wide receivers. They don't need running backs. They franchise Pollard, and they have Zeke. Why would they pick up Bijan?
Dallas needs a quarterback.
Whoa.
I said
Whoa.
It.
Whoa.
I said it.
Take any Dallas
I said it.
Slander right now. What? That's no. What? Why?
Dallas needs a quarterback. Dallas, the Dallas Cowboys are never going to win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott as their quarterback.
Oh.
Just never gonna, it's never gonna happen. And Mike McCarthy as a coach, that's a bad marriage.
I agree with Mike McCarthy as a coach. Oh, go lay down, please. But yeah, did you get a dog yet? I meant to ask you that earlier. Oh, Jamie
Scott is a Dak what? Prescott is a. Did I just lose?
No, you're back.
Okay, Scott is a fantasy quarterback. I love him on my fantasy teams.
Oh, and now you're stopped again. He's frozen. The reason he's frozen is because he's spewing Dak Prescott slander. That's why your computer's freezing up on you. It's like this bullshit. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, maybe. I just don't think that Dak Prescott's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I think he too many turnovers and inopportune times. And they're disillusioned. They're disillusioned by him putting up big stats. Why aren't you running the ball? Then you trade away Amari Cooper for a bag of peanuts and some Gatorade, and then you wonder why you don't have anything going.
I mean, okay, the Amari Cooper trade was bad. I totally agree with that. That's not on Dak. That's on, like, you know, Jerry Jones and his merry band of followers. If they get Odell or if they get a reasonable wide receiver who can help CeeDee Lamb, I think they're good. I think they'll be all right. If Tony Pollard can come back from that injury. I think that hinges a lot on it. And what's this with your boy Austin Ekeler wanting to go somewhere else? Pittsburgh.
Why wouldn't he?
Pittsburgh.
Right? He wants to be traded because they don't want to pay him.
Oh. He's not. Is he in a contract? He's not in a contract year, is he? Oh, I've lost Jay. Is he in a contract year? No.
No, but he wants an extension. And they don't want to pay him. So he wants to be traded.
Steelers.
You have Najee Harris. You don't need Austin Ekeler.
Can you imagine that backfield with Austin Ekeler and Najee Harris? Yes, I can. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful backfield. It's a backfield I will love forever and ever.
Okay.
Oh, that would be the best thing ever. Because what? We just gave away Cam, but we got Patrick Peterson. I mean, I'm not really worried about the defense.
Well, it's March, right? It's the time of year where every team has a hope and a dream.
Hey.
Even the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, even the Browns. Ugh. All right. So let's do your buy, sell, hold.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, before we run out of time. So you go first.
Run out of time.
You go first. I'll go second. It's your segment.
Okay. All right, buy, sell, hold, right? So we're going to come out here. We're going to give a topic, and you guys will tell me if you're going to buy it, you're going to sell it, you're going to hold it. I'm going to come right out the gate, and I'm going to say, buy, sell, hold. Ja Morant will not play another minute for the Memphis Grizzlies this year.
Are they in playoff contention? No?
Very much so.
I
think they're the 2 seed or the 3 seed.
If I sell it, that means I don't agree with it, right?
If you're selling it, it means you think that he is going to play.
Yep, I'm selling it. He's going to what? Yeah, no, just because of the video? Is that what you're basing that on? Of him in shotgun Willis?
I'm just asking it out there. I'm out there.
No, Ja Morant will play again, dude. He's in a strip club, but yeah. Yeah.
he's going to be all right.
He's going to be okay.
I'm also going to sell. Last week we disagreed on everyone.
Yeah.
I'm going to sell because you have Memphis. First off, Memphis is the one that kind of took the disciplinary action, not the NBA, right? So they kind of got ahead of the curve a little bit to try to show the NBA we got it.
Right.
And at first they said all the right things. They did all the right things. But then their coach comes out and he basically gives like this outline of what Ja has to do in order to come back to the game. And then we see, you know, from ESPN reporting today that he was checked into counseling here.
For what?
So I do think that because of the time, right? Because we still got about another – they still got about 9 or 10 games left. It was about another 2 or 3 weeks left into the season for the playoff start. I think that's just enough time to where they can say, see, Ja Morant, he went to counseling. He got all the help. You know, he listened to Jalen Rose. You know, Jalen Rose made an impact on him and really, really struck a nerve. And it's the same situation that we talked about 2 weeks ago when we talked about extreme talent being able to be above what is actually the correct thing to do, and that's Ja Morant is going to play. The Memphis Grizzlies are too good of a team with him on the floor that they're going to let this opportunity pass because of a little bit of public backlash.
Okay, so maybe I don't understand the situation, but he wasn't drinking. The club has already come out and said he wasn't drinking when he was there, that he was getting a lap dance in the corner after he was throwing, like, what, 50K to the strippers. Why is he what is his addiction? Why is he in for? Is there the addiction to strippers? Is it a sex addiction thing? I don't understand what he did wrong.
His addiction is trying to be hard when he's not, according to Shannon Sharp. He's out there chasing street cred where you've already made it. Like, right. Stop it. Grow up. And the Grizzlies have had problems with his character, you know, like this for a while. Oh. That said, the Memphis Grizzlies are, with the injury, with the Kevin Durant injury, Ja Morant on the Grizzlies gives them a fighter's chance at winning a championship. And if you can hang a banner in a year where LeBron James is probably going to be hurt,
yeah.
Kevin Durant is hurt, you know what I mean? Dallas seems to be struggling. Their chemistry is off with Kyrie, the smartest man in the room, Irving, being on roster. You got the Warriors that can't win an away game where, you know, Denver's Denver, but then you're kind of looking, if you're the Grizzlies, you're like, you're sandwiched between the Denver Nuggets and the Sacramento Kings. Are the Kings the real deal? I don't know. So if I'm the Grizzlies, I might be willing. I'm not willing to, but I feel like the Grizzlies are willing to turn a blind eye, and that's why I'm selling. He is going to play in the playoffs this year.
Okay. I agree. I'm not really sure what he did was so incredibly bad. I mean, the video team just...
Well, he beat up a kid. First of all, he beat up a kid.
Are we sure that he beat him up?
Threatened him.
Or like his boys beat him up?
No, he beat him up.
Okay.
And that's the other thing. Why are you hanging around with boys? If that's the case, why are you hanging around with your boys that will beat up a teenager? Right? Then you got in trouble for the whole thing in Indiana. You know, the Indiana Pacers, where him and his boys, him and Pookie and them, you know, point a laser at the Indiana Pacers security.
Right.
He's flashing a gun. He's telling Shannon Sharp, "You lucky, I'll let you live." You know what I mean? And then 2 weeks later, you're like flashing this gun. And it would be one thing if it were like somebody saw him with it, like paparazziing him. But he's paparazziing himself.
Yeah.
Like, look at me. Look at how hard I am. And I just don't. I don't get it because he said he's like Clarence from 8 Mile pretending to be a gangster. Both of your parents are still married and your name is Demetrius.
I guess. I mean, stupidity, should people, he's just stupid. He's a stupid kid. Like, I mean, first of all, Shotgun Willie's out here is out on Colorado Boulevard, and it's not like I don't understand why he didn't go to Diamond, which is right downtown, right by the stadium where they were playing, a little more upscale. What they were doing out in Colorado Boulevard is beyond me. That's
because he wants to be seen as grimy. He wants to be seen as hood and tough, and that's the problem with Ja Morant. He did go to a private school. Jamie with the he will make me watch 8 Mile today.
I think I might have to watch it again. I think he'll play. They'll let him play because he's talented. You're right. Talent usurps everything else. It usurps it.
That's funny. His name is Demetrius. You went to a private school and you watch your sister play high school basketball. He's like his sister's like biggest fan. He's like at her high school basketball games, like doing the gritty every time she scores and stuff. You're wholesome. You're a wholesome dude. Like, stop acting like a thug.
He doesn't want to be wholesome? Why do they? I don't understand the joy of being a thug. I mean, come on.
I don't know. You've already made it.
Yeah.
You've already made it. Ja Morant, so here's the thing, right? You talk about the face of the franchise. The face of the league, potentially, mm-hmm. right? Because when you look at the young players, the most exciting players, you're looking at Jason Tatum. You're looking at Ja Morant. Okay, they wanted it to be Zion, but Zion can't stay on the floor, and he's not explosive. So you got a legitimate chance to have a Jason Tatum in the East and Ja Morant in the West be like the face of the league for the next decade, and you want to be hard. You're trying to get some likes on Instagram. I don't get it.
Likes on Instagram. Oh, these crazy, crazy kids. All right. Buy, sell, hold. Tiger Woods will not win another golf tournament.
Buy.
Okay. And
I'm going to buy.
Yeah.
Yeah. How old is Tiger now? What is he? 40?
Is he 40?
How old is he? Let me see. 47 years old.
Really?
Yeah. Tiger's been done for a minute, and he got hot for a couple of years, and everybody thought he was back. But I do think that the game has passed him by. I think that, you know, all of the other stuff that goes on with Tiger, where he just doesn't have the same killer instinct and the same concentration that he once had. And I do think that Tiger is going to kind of fade off into the sunset. He's done.
I think he's done too. I think the injuries are monumental, like more debilitating than he lets on. I think that he's sticking around because of the other golf league, and him and Rory want to make the PGA the one. So he knows that he is the face of that. So I think he's sticking around for that, but I don't think he'll win another tournament and again.
No. Or he had a great run, though, man.
He did have a great run, man. So he should be happy with that instead of, you know, going out.
Tiger Woods probably single-handedly, and this is funny but not really funny, single-handedly got more new black people into golf than, yeah. I mean, my buddy was, like, taking me, like, going, we're, like, going to the driving ranges and all that type of stuff. And, you know, in the height of the Tiger craze. You know, so and that was, and we weren't like the only one. You just see like people like you going into these golf shops. They don't know what they're buying all of these clubs, and these guys are like upcharging them like $300-$400.
Yeah, this is what Tiger uses. Yeah. It's true. And not even just black people. I think he bought the younger audience to the golf. So, you know, he had a really good run until he got caught cheating, and then it all went downhill. Until he didn't. So, yeah. All right, go.
Chris Rock, selective outrage. It was the perfect retaliation to Will Smith. Buy, sell, hold.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It was awesome. Chris Rock is awesome anyway, but outrage was the perfect. I'm like, yes.
Outrage was like, that was classic Chris Rock, right? I mean,
yeah,
absolutely. And he's right. And he tells a story. So he's a lot like Dave Chappelle, where they have like this story where they make you think. But Dave Chappelle, so with Dave Chappelle, everybody loves Dave Chappelle. I don't think he's that funny to me, because he kind of comes out, because I'm too busy thinking when Dave Chappelle is dropping comedy. I'm like, oh man, that's a good point. I'm supposed to laugh right there, right? Well, Chris Rock does the same thing, but you're laughing at it. And he's like, the whole thing was selective outrage, and what that's the epitome of Will Smith. And he's like, everybody's calling him a B. Everybody's calling him a B. Everybody's calling him a B, but he wants to hit me.
If you guys haven't seen it, you need to see it. It's on Netflix.
Oh, Netflix.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just it's honestly really, really good. Like Chris Rock. I think Chris Rock stand-up to me is like Eddie Murphy stand-up. Like, he says real things, but you're like, oh my God, that's so freaking funny.
Yeah.
Issa Rae too. And outrage. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to watch Chris Rock movies, right? No, we don't watch. He said that. He even joked about it. You think I'm auditioning for Ali? I was Pookie.
Yeah, no, but his stand-up, yes. Anytime he does stand-up, you want to listen to it. It's good.
Amazing, because he makes the point, right? So he comes out and he says that Jayla hurt him way more than he hurt me. And he made no point about it to say that hurt too. That slap hurt. But that's a broken man who basically, and this is kind of goes back to what we talked about last year, right? That was a man who took marching orders, you know, from the girl, just go ahead. She gave him the okay, because he laughed at the joke at first, and then he looked and, oh, wait, my wife don't think this is funny.
I think it's funny, exactly. Yeah. And I have to stand up for her. Yeah, she
selective outrage.
Yeah. She's very scary in a very feminine kind of way. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I feel bad for Will Smith. That's how scary she is. Like, yeah. Yeah.
She knows her power.
She does, and
many women do.
Wait. <no. laughs> Now we're just going to bash women. All right. Buy, sell, or hold. Bryce Young will be the number one pick.
Ooh. Ooh. Buy, sell, hold. Bryce Young is the number one. I'm going to sell. Ooh. I think it's CJ. Really? I do. I think it's CJ Stroud. I think that what happens, right, every year around draft time when the talking heads start talking, and then there's certain narratives that just get louder and louder and louder and louder, and then you get to the point where Mel Kiper is talking about, well, Bryce Young is just too small and he can't see over an offensive line. And
he is, like, not right 50% of the time. Like, how can you still be called a draft expert when you don't even get 50% of your predictions right in the last 4 years?
You're being kind with 50%. We talked about that in our draft show last year. Can't wait to do that again. But I think it's going to be CJ Stroud. And you're talking about what Carolina did. First off, by the way, what a trade for the Chicago Bears. I have to like this saying, like in fantasy football, like if you want to win, you can't win every trade, right? Sometimes you just got to overpay for something. And that's kind of what Carolina did. They just like, look, let's just go and get our guy. But the Bears took a haul back. I mean, that was a fleecing that they gave him.
Oh, Lovie Smith, you're the greatest.
That was a fleecing. But I do think that it's going to be CJ. I think that more of the prototypical – you know, those are the guys that they like, the prototypical pocket passer, accurate. I like Bryce, but, you know, he is a little small. And he's going
to
be CJ.
Okay, here's what I have to do, an article where I quarterback mock drafts. And I mocked to Carolina the Florida guy, Richardson.
Richardson.
Because he's like Cam Newton light, and Carolina succeeded with Cam Newton. And I can see Frank Reich going, oh, I can make something out of this. I can mold him into what I want him to be. He's a big guy. He runs well. And I will be the greatest coach known to man. I'm going to say it. I think that Frank is going to like throw a curveball, and that's who he's going to pick for his first pick. Goodness. I know, right?
Anthony Richardson, yeah. Huh? Wow. Yeah.
Because, I mean,
woo, that's a hot take.
Dude, I'm like planting my flag on all kinds of crazy stuff today. It could be the drugs for the cold. I don't think so, though. I think it's just, it doesn't make sense, and yet it does. You know what I mean? Like,
you're not giving up all of that to move up to one to play it safe, right? You're going for the Lamar Jackson. I can get it, right? I can get behind it. I don't see it, but I can get behind it.
I'm saying they're going to go. Yeah, everyone's thinking it's going to be CJ Stroud, I think. But because he's a little bit bigger than Bryce Young, but so is everybody. But I think they're going to go even bigger than that. And I think they're going to go Richardson.
Wow.
He had a...
Ooh, let me take this sweater off. That's hot. That's a hot take.
All right. Did you do all your buy, sell, holds?
No, I got one more. So buy, sell, hold. The NFL owners have colluded against Lamar Jackson.
Sure. That's like not – I don't even think that's a question. I mean, they could have been a little more sneaky about it instead of all of them coming out. Like, not all of them, but the six or five that came out as soon as he was like given the unrestricted and like, we don't want him. Like, come on now. Come on. At least make it look like you're not colluding. They don't care. They don't give a shit.
Yeah. I'm going to hold. Okay. I'm going to hold. Yeah. I'm going to hold. I do think that that is a, and a hold is kind of like the in-between. Let's see a little more, right? Yep. To say that, like, think of like the caller. You got to have like the smoking gun. Where's the smoking gun? We can talk about gamesmanship. What's in it for the other teams to come out and say, yeah, we want Lamar right now, right? There's no rush in time to come out and do it. And so you got to figure, like, the longer that he sits there and he stews in his own anger and his own frustration and just like, man, I can't believe they did me like that. And if you play that timing just right, right, you can come in there, you can get your guy, and the Ravens are like, yeah, go ahead, take him. Give us your number ones, and that's that. So I don't necessarily think that it's collusion, because I think that there's some calculated risk there in making it look like, you know, that they're not interested in him. But on the other side of that coin, why I'm a hold and not a buy or a sell is that you're talking about a fraternity. Just like the players are a brotherhood and adversaries in a fraternity, so too are the owners, right? They're competitive billionaire people who the only thing that they love more than the money is winning. You know what I mean? And so you got a bunch of people, they're running businesses together. They're competing, but at the same time, they're business partners as well. And they may be trying to, you might see more of this where they're like, man, we need to reset this quarterback market somehow, some way, because at the rate that we're going with some of these quarterback salaries, I mean, you're gonna be a $400 million, you know, in 2 years. So I'm gonna hold.
I think one that it's an attempt to reset the quarterback market, to not give the guarantee contracts that Deshaun Watson got, that he will everyone come down a little bit. But I also heard something today where they said the reason other teams aren't going for Lamar is because on the tender that he is, all Baltimore has to do is match what the other team. So they're letting the other team set his salary, and Baltimore is going to come in and go, hey, we can match that because it's not going to be the high guarantee. And so leaves Lamar. And like I said last week, I applaud like him and the Ndamukong Suh, and I think it doesn't play anymore. Them being their own agents, like cutting out that 33% and 30%, but it also leads to things getting personal. You know, it also like, there's no back channels. Like you can't do what an agent does. You can't do the back channels because it's you, and it's your livelihood.
Yeah, there's no filter.
So.
Yeah, it you can't come into that and saying, well, my guy here, you know, this is me, you know, that you're negotiating. And there's the other part of that of just what's your reach, right? You're Lamar Jackson, but you're not sitting here having cocktails on the golf course with these general managers and these vice presidents and things like that. You don't have a reputation of working out deals with them, you know, over time. And so they're just going to look at you as like so like it or not, the world that you live in, they're going to look at you and they're going to say, you're the talented quarterback who we just barely start accepting as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Go and play football and let us handle this big boy stuff here of maneuvering money around.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a tough one.
And I feel bad for Lamar, but on the same hand, I can just see Lamar not playing. You know what I mean? Like, just going, fuck it. I just won't play. And leaving everyone in a lurch, but we'll see what happens. And with that, we come to the end of the show.
Close it up.
We're closing it out with another reminder for go to Underdog and get your $100 match. And if you're watching later on YouTube, smash the like button and leave a comment for us, because Jay likes to read the comments, even if they're like really not nice. I don't like to read them if they're not nice. I like to read the nice ones. All right, Jay, do you have like anything besides you know, your adult stuff going on? You don't. Do you write? No. because you do adult stuff. You
working. I would, you know, since I haven't written in a while. When I first started talking to Jeff, you know, we were in like some of the daily fantasy circles, you know, together at the time. I was a little more heavy into, you know, DFS and, you know, writing, you know, helping out with, you know, kind of like that. But because my sport was basketball, my DFS sport was basketball. But I can't play it anymore because it's a true daily sports game, and it requires so much attention to detail. And the rule of thumb with fantasy NBA is that if you don't have 5 minutes right before lock, you shouldn't even play. And I no longer have that time, so I don't do it. So now I'm just kind of waiting for football. I like a little bit of baseball, but I get bored of it quickly.
So many games.
So, yeah, it's just the football.
So who is your – who are you telling people to bet on for the March Madness? I forgot. Who did you say had good odds?
Alabama.
Bama all the way? Bama all the way. Yeah. All right.
If you want – well, I don't know what the odds are. I haven't seen them. If you're looking for – I don't think you're going to get a lot of odds on a one seed, right? So you probably have to look at, you know, which one of the teams can give you a good chance to give you – make you a live – give you a live show.
Well, I – but someone in Houston has the longest odds for a one seed in like the last 5 years. Yeah.
Wow. Then there you go.
You bet on Houston? No.
That would be your bet. I would, because you already got them in a title game. So they got a 50-50 chance based off of if you think that I know what I'm talking about with college basketball. That's a 50-50 shot. If they got the longest odds of any one seed and in the history, I think that's – I don't know. Vegas isn't wrong often, but I think that will be one of those times where they are.
Okay. I'm still sticking with Texas. I'm going to go Texas, although don't put your money on them because that's like a really crazy bet, but as all mine have been. Also, you can like hit up Jay at 727JBank on the Twitter machine, and I am at Lattis L. Tyler. Next week, Kyle Sinra will be in this spot on his lovely talk show, and we will be the week after. And then also Going for Two has a draft show that we'll be on, so look us up on draft day so we can like make fun of Mel Kiper's really, really bad picks. That's going to happen.
And we'll see if your hot take hits.
Oh, it's going to hit. Richardson's going to be number one. All right. Tell your family bye. It was good joy meeting them. Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us. We will see you in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.